found out as we were coming in this morning that Mark was not feeling well. We assume from the cancer again. Is chemotherapy, so we need to pray for him. Well, I had a pen. Where'd it go? There it is. I thought I was. This goofy mic drifts down and there we go. Anybody else need prayer this morning? Jennifer.
She needs one.
Twinkle fingers. And Teresa needs prayer to be warm. What should be on? Oh, the heat. Nobody else needs prayer? Well, that's true. Anything specific?
In general.
In general.
We could have a praise.
Praise, we'll take it.
Margaret had a first mammogram,
and everything was clear. Wonderful. Oh, excuse me. Okay. See, how would we phrase that? Pray for all of the incoming calls. Incoming crazy calls. Wow. That would just about cover most of them.
My mother, her heart is getting worse. What about Mike's mother?
Yes. How's she doing?
There was nothing showed up.
They couldn't find anything. So it's probably just anxiety or whatever. So no interactions with medications, no indications of any further blockages.
Your mom's Llewellyn, right? Llewella.
Mike, your mom's Maria.
Maria was my grandma.
Oh.
Maria, okay.
We need to pray for our people coming back.
Yes, travel mercies for our Joplin team. Mike Robinson and Mike Kennedy have both done some posting on Facebook about that. The first day they spent sorting books out for the school. The second day they spent handing the books out to the teachers. Apparently they had sorted the books out into classes, grades, and that kind of thing. And they had teacher knickknacks and virtually anything that you would find in a school room they needed, because the buildings were pretty much leveled. No, they've been sorting and doing peripheral stuff, it sounds like. 7 of 9 schools had been destroyed or damaged in the town, so they needed everything they could find, everything that you could think of. So you know how much stuff you end up with in a teacher's classroom. You know, the essentials, paper, pencil, pens, crayons, textbooks, reading books, a chair. Sounded like they were doing pretty much everything, and then they were helping pack them out to the teacher's vehicle so that they could get it to wherever they were going to be teaching at. So I don't know where you would find a spot to teach in a town that's been virtually destroyed by a tornado, but wherever you can find a dry spot to put a, yeah. There was also a thing about the Texas fires that the so many people had been displaced that school buses were pulling up to the motels and hotels, picking up kids to take them to school. And it was just amazing that that kind of stuff was going on. Anybody else? Okay, let's start. Father, I thank you for the blessings that you've given us this day. I ask that you would guide us as we do our walk today. Help us to learn your word, learn how to apply it. I pray right now for Mark with his chemo, that you would ease the body's aches and pains and ills, help him to maintain a little bit more normalcy in his life. I can't imagine, having gone through this many times, that what he's feeling like, and I praise you that you've given him the strength to continue, Lord. It's an inspiration to me. We praise you for Margaret's mammogram, that it was clear, and all the wonderful things that you've done in her life. We ask for Teresa's help with her incoming phone calls, that she can handle them and they're not totally distracting. We ask for help with Luella with her Parkinson. Help her to, again, live more of a normal life, Lord. Give Jennifer and Mike both peace and comfort as they deal with aging parents. We praise you for Mike's mom, Maria, that there was nothing serious with her, that it was an easily handled problem. We also ask for travel mercies, Lord, for the people who are coming home from Joplin. May they have a safe trip, uneventful trip, get home and rest up as they begin again their work week. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. Now, we did have the attributes of God placed on the website per request. So it's available out there. If not this month, last month, you can find it, a link to it. So it's in a Word document right off of the website. And where we had left off last week, he was just getting into a series of verses that were relating to God's power and things that just demonstrate his power. Chris, you're at page 30?
Yes.
Okay. And we had gotten through where? About question 8, wasn't it? God's power is ministered to? Okay, I think that's about where we're at. If we've skipped one, he can beat me later. God's power is ministered to and through man's human weakness rather than through man's natural human strength. And where is that? This is 2 Corinthians, book 12. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me, speaking of the problems that Paul had had. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might dwell in me. We don't know what his problem was, his thorn in the flesh, as he said it before. Morning. But we do know that, according to this verse, he had asked for God to remove it. And God impressed upon him that it needed to stay there so that he could show God's power. For indeed, he was crucified because of weakness. This is 2 Corinthians 13:4. For indeed, he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we shall live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. Okay. What we're talking about there, God's power. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness. Yet he lives because of the power of God. Okay. Was referring to who was crucified. I'm going to guess here that he's talking of Jesus without having my Bible in front of me. I don't know. Okay. 2 Corinthians, Kathy. Book 13. Book 13, chapter 13. Yeah, the ones and the twos kind of help out. I've done that. Corinthians, Colossians, they're the same thing. And then we have a series of statements and verses that he's referring to here. What God's power enables him to do. Okay. All power belongs to God. Thine is the power. Matthew 6:13. Gary, you want to get Matthew 19:26? Glenda, Mark 14:36. 14:36. That's what it says here. Carol, you want to grab Luke 1:34-37? You want to read yours, Gary, please? And this is reinforcing the God, the part that he can do all things. Glenda? What that's enforcing here is nothing is impossible. Kathy, Job 42:1-2. Cheryl, would you read Isaiah 14:27? Chris, Romans 4:21. Say again? Yes.
Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be wrong.
He is able to do what he has purposed. Cheryl? Chris has Romans, and that's he is able to do what he has promised. Go ahead.
He is convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises.
These are all reinforcing that God's power enables what God's power enables him to do. Basically, God can do what he wants. Amen? There we go. Now, if we could get him to work here faster. He is able to judge because he can save and destroy. He is able to destroy the body and soul in hell. He is able to forgive sins. He is able to save us. There's 20 things that this lists and shows God's power. The more you read them, or at least the more I read them, the more I realize just how weak I end up being, how powerful God has worked in my life, and what little I can do to influence God. Being a guy, you're just one of those I can handle it, I can do it type people. We're all getting warm, aren't we? Well, I'm up here rolling my shirt sleeves up and I can't do much more. Okay. Let's check this one here then. What's that set for?
72, I think.
Yes. Wow. It's amazing. In the summertime, 72 is cold, and in the winter, in the fall, it's too warm. He is able to defend us, to overcome our enemies. He is able to deliver us. He is able to protect or rescue us. He is able to make us stand. All right, where is that one at? Romans. Romans 14:4 is, who are you to pass judgment on another's servant? Before his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. I stand before God, and He stands with me at the same time. What can I accomplish when I stand with God? He is able to come to our aid when tempted. How many times have you asked for God's help when you're being tempted? Oh, I really want that hot fudge sundae. Oh, don't need it. He is able to establish us as his saints. How often have you thought of yourself as a saint? Saints, one of these dead apostles or someone who has gone on ahead of us and they're holy and they're wise, and I'm being referred to as a saint. And as Mark would go, I work at a sewer plant and I'm a saint? Mark is a salesman. He's a saint. Nancy, you're a saint. Had you thought of yourself that way before? No. You think of yourself as a child of God, but as a saint? God says we are. That kind of changes your thinking, or at least mine. Wow, I'm going to go out and do this, and I'm a saint. He is able to keep Christians and to keep us from falling. He is able to keep that which we have committed to him to the day of his coming. What have we committed to him? Our faith, our lives, everything. To the day of his coming. Well, when's that going to be? Anybody know? Gear? Only God knows. He is able to raise the dead. He is able to provide everything for life and godliness. Everything for life and godliness. So he is providing food, jobs, transportation, a Bible to read, the Holy Spirit to teach us our wisdom. He is able to empower us to carry out the Great Commission. Great Commission. What's that? Share the gospel. How do we go about doing that?
I tell them to share that stand for me, how really it's how that Jesus sacrificed himself.
By testimony? And by life, by your walk, as they say. Yeah, I'm still playing catch up here as teacher bit. No, we can't just sit there and go, it's God's doing. He does it as he needs. There's a little bit of effort on our part, too. How is the power of God exercised or demonstrated? Carol, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Glenda, 2 Corinthians 13, 4. This is how the power of God is exercised or demonstrated in weakness. Thirteen four. Well, Second Corinthians 13:4. Well, no, it's not a book you can read once. If you would, please, Carol.
When he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, and in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong."
How opposite is that to our normal mentality? At least for a guy, I can do this. And yet, here Paul is boasting in his own weaknesses so that God's power can show through. And that's just so contrary to what I was taught, how I have believed, how I've acted. Maybe? I don't know.
Well, in my small mind.
Well, it's contrary to the way I believe, or have acted, not believe. I need to swing more in line with what you just read rather than what I'm.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
What I just read is being humble person.
Okay. I'll go along with that.
Okay.
Now that I'm on the same page with you and I'm following along. You ought to be in here. Oh, yes. It's a whirlwind right now, I'm telling you. You want to read 13:4, please, Glenda?
Again.
God's power is exercised or demonstrated in simplicity and clarity rather than human sophistication and persuasion. Gary, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, or 1 Corinthians 1. Now that reads the whole. It gives me the book, but it doesn't give me a verse to, or it gives me the chapter, but not a verse to read. I don't think you want to read the whole chapter.
Second
Corinthians.
It looks like it's all a verse.
Yes, and we don't want to read the whole chapter. Okay, we'll jump to 2 Corinthians, please, Gary. Chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. And Chris, 4, 1 to 6. Second Corinthians.
Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way we never give up, we reflect all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the
simplicity and clarity rather than human sophistication and persuasion. In a simple proclamation of the gospel, Jennifer, Romans 1:16, Teresa, Ephesians 3:7, please. When you're ready. Chasing down a bunny trail. All right. I'm, again, running out of things to do up here.
There are a couple of these verses in 1 Corinthians 1.
1 Corinthians 1. Okay. Carol's been speed reading, and she's found us some good verses to read. Okay. Okay.
You might want to peer in there a bit. It's starting in verse 6. But, first Corinthians 1. I'm sorry, not 6. How about in verse 18? Since you're running out of things to do, go back to chapter 1.
There we go. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And how much does that say about our strength? That God in his weakness is far stronger than what we are when we're at our strongest. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Wow, there's all kinds of wisdom in there. Yes. For the message of the cross is foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yeah, it's that religious crap that you shouldn't be listening to that I don't need.
Yeah.
And I don't know about them, but I need it. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. How many things have they poo-pooed as far as what's written in the Bible? And then they've gone back and they've found, and they've been able to go, oh, such a place actually exists. This might have actually happened. They were talking about the parting of the Red Sea. And somewhere on the net, I had found a article about they had located what they thought were chariot wheels in the bottom of the Red Sea at a narrow spot, and were going, huh, maybe that actually could have happened. And of course everybody's going, well, that's not a real chariot wheel, that's something else. Well, they showed pictures of it. It looked like a chariot wheel to me. It had the right number of spokes, it was the right size and diameter, and it was laying side up to be seen. They're trying to explain it away. Yes. The foolishness of man. Frustrated intelligence. How many times have I thought, I've got that passage figured out. And then somebody comes up and goes, well, it really means this. And I've sat down and, no, it really can't. Well, now, wait a minute. If I think of it that way, then what I thought the passage actually meant is totally skewed. And I've done that way too many times. Okay, we're a little early, but I think we're going to go ahead and call it. Okay? Yes, I'm chickening out. We got down to there. Okay, we'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the words that you've put down in your heavenly guide for us, Father. I thank you for the understandings that you're giving us and the wisdom, your wisdom, not man's wisdom. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Okay.